We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood, but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea!
Hello there, and welcome. There's a lot of great ideas here. I'm glad you stopped in to see us. It's Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young. Welcome to our show, where we discuss all things regarding renovation with either the FHA 203K, the Fannie Mae Home Style, or any of the seven other government loan programs that are out there, or even conventional loan programs that you might have. If you're having trouble with your contractor, you may want to call in, talk about it. Or if you're too shy and don't want to call in front of everybody, you can go to 203k911.com and tell us all about your problem, and we'll be happy to coach you on the side. So this weekend, we had a visitor. My niece, Lauren Young, came over, brought a couple friends, and they climbed Red Rock Mountain Friday. And then they went somewhere else, climbed another mountain Saturday down here in Las Vegas. So now I have a tree hugger and a rock climber. to be 24 and know what I know now. Well, anyway, if you'd like to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. Toll free and ask your renovation question. Or if you're a consultant, tell us about a project that you had that was interesting and why. Well, most 203Ks and other type renovation projects go off without a hitch. From time to time, you may find yourself with no one there to talk to on your side. If that's your case, you're a homeowner and you're at your wits' end, you just don't know what's going on. The lender seems to be working closer to the contractor and paying him without draw inspections or anything like that. Well, let us know what's going on. We'll be happy to give you our 2 cents worth and see if we can't figure this out, a way to get you back on track. So that's at www.203k911.com. There's a lot of consultants out there listing. I want you all to know, if you've got a problem and you're having trouble with a client or a contractor or a lender and you need someone to talk to, feel free to call us as well. There seems to be a great deal of consultants out there that think that there's too many consultants. Well, I'm here to tell you there can never be too many consultants. These programs are so underutilized, it's pathetic. However, if you've been given an idea that because you're now a consultant, the work is just automatically going to come to you, you're wrong. It isn't. You need to market your services, and you need to market to all five places. There's five different places you can market yourselves, and if you're only marketing to one or two, you're missing the boat, and that's why you're not busy. It's not because there's too many of you. There's never too many good consultants. Now, there are some bad ones out there. I had a lender the other day that called me up, and I was on a cruise, and I didn't get back to her within the hour, so she called me, or I called her back. And I said, I already found a consultant for that job, and I said, really? Who did you get? I hope it's not so-and-so. She said, that's who it is. Yeah. No, and I know what you mean. He's already proven himself to be worthless. So we know most of the good ones. We know most of the bad ones. If you're a good one and we don't know you, let us know. We'll put you on our referral list. Also made an offer on my last show to see if anybody had any lenders that loaned to nonprofit agencies or organizations. So if you do, if you're lending, if your lenders will loan to a nonprofit, please share their name. We might give them a lot of business their way, which naturally would come right back to you. If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss in more specific terms and you don't want to be on a radio, again, go to 203K911 or 203KOnline.com, either one. Scroll down to the message center and just send us an email explaining the issues and a time that we can call you back, and we'll see if we can help you figure out a solution. So let's see what we got going here. Last week, we asked, let me get my little prompter here set. Last week, we had a lender that would, we were looking for a lender that with the nonprofit organizations. And we did get three calls from that, from lenders, but they were all kicking the tires. Well, I don't know more about it. My gosh, every lender in this business that does 203K loans, every loan officer, I'm going to tell you right now, you're a darn fool if you're not pushing nonprofits. You teach a nonprofit how to buy a 203K and how they can make their community stronger, better, provide low-cost housing in their neighborhood, affordable housing. Lordy, lordy, they keep coming back over and over. You only have to train them once. Seems like a no-brainer to me. But we had another question came in last week. A self-help question from a consultant. He said, I have a contractor who's planning to do his own work. I couldn't find anywhere that the contractor would be a conflict of interest. But I know consultants can't do their own construction. Where can I find information on this? Well, at the 4001 guideline is where you're going to find the answer to the question. But let's break it down this way. There's a matter of self-help, and most lenders don't allow for self-help projects. The few that do, and there's quite a few actually, but self-help is about the buyer being their own contractor. There are many lenders that will allow this, but you have to be a licensed contractor in the state where the project is located. And of course, you're in Texas where they don't require licensing of contractors. That one has often always baffled me. You have a contractor who is not required to have a license, but you have a home inspector who is required to have a license. I don't get that at all. Contractors are doing a lot more risky work. So here's where it gets a bit sticky. The consultant needs to be careful to put all the money into the, including profit and overhead, into the project scope of work. Just because the borrower is going to be the contractor, the borrower cannot receive any profit and overhead for himself, but you have to put it in there. Now, he can pay, he can expense anything that he pays for. So if he hires 20 employees and they come out there and he can prove that they're on that job, then he can get reimbursed in those categories where he has money. But at no point can he get his profit and overhead. That money eventually will pay down on the mortgage and he can get refinance out of that loan. Now, why would we do that? The reason, main reason is that you have to have enough money in there in case he flakes out. So let's say you got a contractor, owner, he buys the house, he's got it all set up and he's just put in the bare minimum. He can buy his materials half price. Because he's not, or he can buy it at least 20% off because he's not going to charge profit and overhead on it. And then what happens? He flakes out. Or worse, he gets hurt or dies. I've had two contractors die on me over the years. It's kind of wonder, you know, where, how come this project isn't moving forward? You finally do a little investigating, find out that he isn't moving forward. He's not moving at all. So you got to have enough there to cover yourself in your bid. You're supposed to be making an independent bid of that project. Homeowners out there, if you've got your consultant brought a contractor with him to the job and the contractor put a bid together and the consultant merely copied that bid, then he did not do you a service. We find that we typically save our clients many times our fee. Again, I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. We were doing a job in Marin County, California. A 24-year-old lady was buying her first house, and she had more dollars than sense, common sense she didn't have. She was loving this contractor's work on a project about a block or two away from her house. And I independently bid the project at $159,000. her contractor, and by the way, I did that in four and a half days. Her contractor bid the job in 4.5 weeks, got all of his subcontractors out there, and they bid whatever they bid. And then he put together his price of $298,000. So I bid $159,000, they bid $298,000. The homeowner was rather beside herself. She was shocked. I mean, how could they be this different? And I said, well, one reason is you've just been telling this contractor, man, you do great work. You're fantastic. I love this. I want you to do mine. And what you've done is you've just set him up to charge you more than he would have otherwise. And two, he's in Marin County, which is a higher rent district. Insurance costs more and so forth. But all those things can affect the price. Maybe he doesn't have good subs. Who knows his reasons? But we decided to get at least one other contractor bid, which he had told me not to do. And about then, the phone rang, and it was a contractor calling in to get on my bid list. Asked him if he worked in Marin County. He said yes. He was on the speaker, so I had never heard of him before. His bid came in at $170,000. I was at $159,000. So when I saw his bid, I called him and I said, how much contingency reserve did you build into your numbers? His first comment was, I don't usually tell anybody that. It's nobody's business. I said, well, we have to put contingency out on the table so everybody sees it, and I have to have 10% minimum. Oh, well, I've got $10,000 built into it. So when I take his $170,000 and I take $10,000 off of it, his bid is now $160,000 versus my $159,000. That's pretty darn tight. They're not always that tight. But the owner then, I was redeemed. The owner realized that my contractor was going to rip me off. I said, well, maybe not. Who knows? You know. So in any case, we got the job done for very close to what we had bid. Her second question to me was, should we talk him down to the $159,000? And I suggested, no, the $160,000 is a fair price. I wouldn't start your relationship with a new contractor by trying to talk him down $1,000, because it sets you up to look like a nitpicking borrower, and he may just not want to work for you at all. So that is the big way to go. Let's see, self-help. Oh, we had a couple questions over the week, past week or so, about our software for consultants, contractors, and lenders. Our software works for lenders too. It's not only a consulting software, but it's lender software because it's lender friendly. It's got all your forms in it too. So if you're doing a lot of limited or streamlined 203Ks, they used to be called streamlined, I know, now they're limited 203Ks. If you're doing a lot of them, you may want to look at our software. You got a free 60-day trial if you'd like to try it out. Give us a call. We also have software for contractors. So when you're bidding it, you don't forget to bid a category. You've got the 35 categories that HUD requires, and you can bid in those categories. And be sure that you're putting a decent bid together in the right order. Okay? So the other, not too long ago, we got a phone call, came across one of our associates that works for me, one of our staff consultants, and we learned all kinds of stuff about our software that we didn't know, what it could and couldn't do. We had to laugh because in every instance we could do what our competitor was out telling consultants we couldn't do. Well, I found that interesting. And we'll get into that more in a few minutes when we get back. But in all cases, when they said we couldn't do it, we'd already been doing it for 10 years or so. Isn't that interesting? So please, if you want to be on a show and ask your questions, please call us at 888-627-6008. And we'll be right back after this short break.
We found the perfect house. but there's been no updating it for many years. Then we heard about the FHA 203K, where we can buy that home and get the money to fix it up, all in one low interest rate loan. What a great idea.
We're back with you. Thank you for joining us. It's call and be part of the show at 888-627-6008. We're happy to have you here, and we do have a lot of great ideas. But getting back to the where we were, a competitor calls in, grabs one of my staff consultants and starts selling them or trying to unsell them on our software. I can't tell you what our competitor software does. I've never used it. And I'd be fooling myself to be so presumptuous. But I got a kick out of it. They said we don't have any consultants on the East Coast, and I would guess that the East Coast is probably 50% of our sales. So don't believe it for a second. Unless you're hearing it from me, I wouldn't believe too much of it. What I can tell you is our software was voted the easiest to underwrite by a national mortgage lenders group. They had 400 people looking at 7 different formats, and 98% of them at the end of the 4-day conference voted our software as the one they'd like to have come through their office for underwriting most often. So that should tell you a lot. And our software there's no charge per job. You buy the software, you use the software. Every version of our software is still in use. I talked to a fellow over the weekend that is thinking about renewing his or updating his software. And I said, well, I don't remember you doing that anytime recently. What version are you using? He said, version 4. Version 4 has got to be 18 years old. And he's still using it? No. It's time to update your software. Get in the latest stuff with all the bells and whistles that we've added over the years. So most of the reports that association of underwriters were looking at were confusing and poorly put together. They required too much reading. What happened is some of the formats of software in general are difficult to read. Just the way they put it together is difficult to understand and read it. But if you want to give ours a shot, try it out, see how you like it, you may find that you love it. And since it doesn't cost you to try it out, we have a free trial player in. I'd be happy to talk to you on your individual basis and see what you need to give it a shot. So I did have the opportunity I got several jobs that I took over from someone who was using a competitor software. And when I went out on the job to do the draw, I took their paperwork. And where it takes me about 10 minutes to conduct a draw on our software, it took me 45 minutes to try to figure out what they were trying to say. Very difficult, very confusing the way it was written. And it took 24 pages. About half of them were blank. We don't print blank. When you're doing a draw inspection and your scope of work prints out, it has one single line that says there's nothing required in this category. And it all bunches back up and puts it together. A scope of work typically is 3 to 5 pages. And I guarantee you, you can look at those 3 to 5 pages much faster. Do your draw, get off that job, get back on your car, and get on to the next job. Then you can 24 pages, and half of it's empty. You kind of get bored after a minute. Doesn't take long. So we also have a contractor's version, so contractors get way ahead of the curve on bidding projects because everything's already in the right order. They just have to fill in the blanks. But lenders, why would I say lenders? Lenders use our software all the time, and they use it because they're doing a lot of limited 203Ks. When they do a lot of limited 203Ks, this puts all the paperwork together for you. It puts the homeowner contractor together for you. you can print out all the paperwork at one time for all computer, all of the lenders, all of the contractors, excuse my slip of the tongue. But it prints out a separate scope of work for each contractor, too. So if you've got five trade contractors, it's going to print out five homeowner contractors agreements and five scope of work pages. It's really pretty simple. So next question we had over the week, last week, is something that recurs. It's all the time coming across a, instead of going to our website, any one of our websites, clicking on order here, order now, you get a call. Hey, I need to know what your fee's going to be. I've got a 203K coming up here next week for you, but I need to know what your fee is. I said, have you put it on? Have you looked at the order blank yet? No. Where is it? And I told him, oh, that one. Well, no, I'm not ready to order yet. Well, why not? There's a comment section. It says, don't call the, put a comment in there. Hold this order till I call you and tell you to call the homeowner, the buyer. But in any case, all of your GFE information is right there on our order blank. So with them calling you, they're wasting their time because they could have found it faster. Secondly, you've got to know how much is the construction budget. Oh, well, we were going to let you decide. We were going to let your inspection determine that. I said, you have a budget. If they exceed that budget, the loan is dead. Just tell me the budget. You know, they try to be secretive. I have to laugh. You can't be secretive. Your consultant is on your side. Tell us what you got going. Tell us what you expect. We'll most likely hit your expectation if you let us know what that expectation may be. But in all cases, we need to know, because our fee is based on a sliding scale, we need to know the construction estimate. What do you think it's going to be? Finally, after pulling teeth and wasting a lot of time, they tell you, which you knew they had to tell you in order to get that answer anyway. So isn't that funny? I mean, I just find it peculiar. Had they gone to the website, walked down there, they could have clicked the button on the price, the construction amount. It tells them exactly how much the price is for our fees. And for you people that are charging a home inspection fee on every 203K, shame on you. Homeowners out there, if you've been charged a home inspection fee for a 203K, you have been had in some cases. I say in some cases because what happens is you get a call, they want a 203K consultation. So what happens? You ask them, well, do you have a home inspection? Well, no, we own the house. We don't need a home inspection. That should end the home inspection talk right there. You do not give them a home inspection if they don't need one. A 203K comes with a property inspection. You have to look at the property and inspect it as part of your duty as a consultant. And you provide a written report that we have to disclaim as not a home inspection. Home inspectors typically identify the good and bad aspects of your house, so you have both sides. But then they give you a deficiency list quite often. That deficiency list is all about these things must be repaired or replaced during your course of your 203K. If you need a home inspection, if you're buying the house and you want a home inspection, we're happy to do that. My company, I don't do it personally. One of my associates will. I don't mix the two. We got out of that in 1998. We stopped doing standard home inspections. Not that we can't do them. We just stopped doing them in relationship to a 203K. We felt that, in our estimation, that it was a conflict of interest, or could be. So now you get out there. Your client calls you, and he's I'm purchasing a house. I need to get a consultant out there right away. How much is it going to cost? We expect the work is to be about $40,000, $50,000 maybe. And you quote them a price based on the HUD guideline. That price is going to be $700 plus mileage. And then you ask them the question, do you want a home inspection or have you got one already? If you have one, we have to review it. If you want one and you don't have it ordered, we can do it at the same time that we're there for your consultation if you choose. The fee for that is X number of dollars. But if they say, no, I understood we didn't need a home inspection per se, if we're doing a 203K because you have to give us a property inspection, then they are correct. And it's wrong of you to charge them. It's also wrong of you to charge a trip fee. I see a lot of people. HUD has not given, and let me, in defense of consultants, HUD has not seen fit to give us a price increase in our fees since 1995. In 94, it came out. It stopped at $700. So they added, they went up to $100,000 after that in 1995. And that wasn't a raise. It was just an acknowledgement that some jobs are bigger. Today, I just finished a job for $529,000 in construction costs. You know, I can't do that for a $1,000 fee. And most consultants across the country have adjusted their fee schedules irrespective of HUD's guideline, because it is just a guideline. It's not an absolute. It's what they'll reimburse on the loan to the borrower. So we got to be careful when we're doing these things that we don't overcharge the client, but we also have to be charged that we don't underserve our business. If we're going to be here, we have to make a profit. And there's a lot of people. The HUD does not maintain their list very well. I know two people who have passed away, two friends of mine that are no longer consultants, and yet they're active on the list. And then I hear from another guy, and he says, hey, I went there, they took me off, they deactivated me, I'm not active anymore. And I said, did you update your information every 2 years like you're supposed to? And he said, no, I didn't know I was supposed to. I don't know how anybody can not know the rules, but they are. We get them back, get them reinstated again, typically, pretty easily. But they haven't taken those two guys off. They're still, one of them's wife keeps calling me and says, here's a lead, call this guy, and is there any way you can get me off this list? She said, it hurts my feelings every time somebody calls asking for my husband. He's been gone now for 2 years. So I said, I'll see what I can do. This week we got an email from a client who said, it's really very helpful having you as our consultant, Mike. Like you said the first day, we'll need you in our corner, and it does feel like that indeed. So thank you. It's our intention to provide our clients with the best possible product and experience they can get. Some get it, some never will. Happily, most get it, and what we do is way beyond what is required. I find it interesting that the conversations that are on the internet are quite often are answered in the paperwork. Most consultants don't concern themselves with lender-required paperwork. Well, I'm afraid to tell you this, but most lenders don't do it either. I ask people, has the lender given you a packet of papers to read and understand before you close escrow? And I would say nine and a half times out of ten, they'll say no. And I said, well, I'm going to give those to you now, and we're going to go over with you all the things that are most commonly misunderstood, which will make your life more simple. Now, it's not required of us. It is a lender loan officer requirement. But what if the loan officer doesn't do it? Have you really served your client well by not making sure, at least asking the questions? Tell the client to go back to them and ask them for the contracts and everything so you have a chance to read them before closing of escrow. I've always enjoyed the, or laughed rather, I didn't enjoy it. I laughed at the people who go to closing and it's 4:30 in the afternoon and they walk in with a stack of papers, maybe an inch high, say, okay, we got some paperwork to read and understand. Oh, by the way, we close in 30 minutes and hand them a stack of papers to go through or walk through page by page. They don't read them. They said, sign here, sign there, sign here. But they're not reading and understanding anything they're signing. That's just not fair, and it doesn't fit the program. We designed our software in 1994 to accommodate all aspects. So we're telling the borrowers, these are the rules that you're going to have to follow. And it really helps the borrower understand. And even with that extra work, some borrowers just don't ever plan to understand it. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, yes, you did. Remember this right there? It's black and white. Oh, yeah, I do remember that. So anyway, if you want to be part of the show today, please call us at 888-627-6008. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with you in just a minute. Stay tuned.
We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood, but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea!
Hey, we're back with you. Call us at 888-627-6008 if you want to be part of the show. We're going to be talking about some of these contracts. Every consultant must have a consultant agreement. Now, some of our competition has changed the wording. Instead of calling it a consultant agreement like HUD does, they want to call theirs an allowable fees agreement. They're the same thing. Our consultant agreement lays out exactly what we're going to do for the fee that we're charging and the fees that we're going to be charging for it. So, but the rest of the show today is going to be about some of those contracts. We do not have time to go through all of them. So next week, we'll be finishing up with the rest of those contracts. So join us next week too. So what happens is, in any case, let's get back to this. I did create a book years ago, and the subject is 203K loan, the hottest rehab loan product on the market, where I've listed all the contracts and spelled them out and put them in that book. And then beyond that, as you get to different sections that are misunderstood, I put a caution or a idea box there that explains how it's interpreted. Because believe it or not, we wouldn't have lawyers if everything was easily interpreted. In this case, we have contracts that HUD wrote. Some are written very well, some are written where they can be misconstrued. They can be taken different ways. And if there's two ways to be taken, two people in the same transaction are going to take them, one's going to take them each way. So that book, if anybody wants a copy of it, you can go to Amazon.com and pick it up there. If you want a free copy of it, but you'll have to pay the shipping, and the shipping is $7, we'll send you a copy of it for free. If you want to do that, and just send me an email, go to one of our websites, 203konline.com, and down to the message center and tell me what it is you want. We'll send you a link, and you can make the payment, and it'll go out usually the same day or the next day. We normally offer them free to our loan officers that work with us, because they probably haven't ever read those contracts either, and it gives them an indication of what their client is going to be reading and signing. But if there's an issue ever on a 203K, you can likely push it back to one of those contracts. And we're going to be going over them in more detail here as we go along. But so the consultant agreement or the allowable fees agreement is all about client hereby desires to engage a consultant, blah, 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 as it pertains to the property known as the address of the property. But the consultant will accompany the client and his agent, his or her agent, during a walkthrough of the subject property, during which the property will be analyzed for compliance with the 203K mortgage insurance program. 203K is not a loan. It is an insurance policy that ensures the lender that the loan will be repaid, at least 96.5% of it. That's why they only charge 3.5% down. The consultant will assist the client in preparation of the work write-up, which describes the proposed rehab and the HUD required form draw request. Okay, so the consultant that turns in an SOR is missing the boat. They need to turn in a draw blank too, a draw request. And on a 203K, they need to turn in a quasi-home inspection, a property inspection, written property inspection. And then, of course, in that same agreement, it says the client is not required to use a consultant for a limited 203K. There, you didn't always have to use a consultant. When I ask people, when was the 203K initiated? It was initiated in 1961. From 1961 to 1994, everybody had to just figure it out, read the manuals and figure it out. In 1994, they created consultants where consultants were expected to learn the guidelines and guide the homeowner through this myriad of paperwork. Inspections. Any and all inspections that are already done on that property, the consultant is required to review and comment on. So he'll incorporate those inspections such as, prior to closing, by the way, such as any mechanical, engineering, termite report, any home or building inspection reports, any local government red tags or inspection reports. All of that stuff has to be combined into his scope of work. Agreement duration is a very, very difficult one for most people to get their hands around or get their brain around, because the consultant will perform the duties described herein from the date of the agreement. That's when you see the client at the property, until the closing of the loan with the lender, at which time the consultant becomes the inspector for the draws. This agreement can be terminated with the approval of the lender by mutual consent of all parties involved. It's always been that way. Consultants can be fired. If for some reason you don't like your consultant, fire them. I got a big kick out of it because this one contractor was constantly asking for items that weren't complete. He wanted payment. He finally talked to the homeowner into getting with the lender and firing me. I just let the lender know. I said, well, he's firing me because he's trying to get 100% of something that's going to be finished maybe in 2 or 3 hours. And you can't do that. You can only pay for what's finished at the time of your inspection. Okay. So anyway, there's an indemnification clause that HUD recommended we use way back in 1994, and I still use it to this day. The client agrees to indemnify, defend, and hold harmless the consultant, his employees, agents, and agents from all claims, actions, demands, or for damages, liability, and cost attendant to defending him against the same brought or made on the account of any injuries or damages received or sustained by any person or persons on the property or the property arising out of the occasional acts of the consultant. It just means that the consultant should not be being sued for every little infraction that happens by someone else. Okay, if the consultant can be sued for willful misconduct or gross negligence, in all cases, they've always been able to do that. So the key here is that the consultant represents the homeowner, the home buyer, the home borrower, and we're there to help you get this done. We help you create the paperwork. The consultant fee is based on a sliding scale. So to give you a fee, we must know what approximate budget you have for the construction. The client will pay the consultant fee in full unless it's otherwise agreed in writing prior to the initial inspection of the premises. Now, I hear on the internet how some of these consultants are out there and they're becoming bill collectors. I'm not a good bill collector. Actually, I'm a very good bill collector, but I'm not a very nice person when I'm bill collecting, so I try not to do that. But HUD guidelines says we can collect our fee up front. Now, if you talk to individual representatives at HUD, what do you mean they got paid up front? No, they get paid when they turn their report in. No, because it's like an appraisal report. The appraiser turns his report in, and he hasn't collected his fee, and the borrower decides, well, it didn't come in at the value I needed, so I'm not going to pay for it. So they won't let an appraisal go by without getting paid in advance. And consulting is the same way. Just because the borrower or the lender, thinks this thing is going to be a $50,000 renovation project, maybe it's only a $40,000, maybe it's a $60,000. But our fee is not based on what it might be. It's going to be based on what it actually is. And it's important that we get our paid up front so we don't become bill collectors. Years ago, I remember I was working for, got out of the service, and my father and I had a business together, and he sent me out collecting. It was only $2,000 gross, I mean, total from five different people. So it wasn't a lot of money. But I had one guy get real ornery with me. And he said, I'm not going to pay you, ever. I'm not going to pay it. And I cleared his desk off for him, and I set up on his desk. He said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm here to collect the money. I'm not here to question you about it or argue about it. You used the material. Owe the bill, so pay for it. He says, look, I'll pay for it. I'll go ahead and pay for it. I will pay for it, but I don't have it today. And I said, well, fine. He said, well, why are you going to sit on my desk until I pay for it? I said, yep. Hey, Mary, come in here. Write a check for this guy. Get him out of my office. But his credit is not good. If his credit is not good, the other question we get all the time is, say, okay, we're going to collect a check for $700 at the time of the inspection. Well, the client needs to think about that. He doesn't have any money. He has just enough money to close this escrow. Well, by golly, if you don't have the money to pay $700, maybe you don't have the money to make payments with this loan. Maybe this is not a good loan. But it should be okay because our fee is refunded to the borrower at close of escrow, and therefore it can be used to pay their down payment or closing costs. So they haven't lost the ability to use it for what they intended to use it for. But lordy, 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 don't go into a deal if you don't have a few dollars extra. Okay? So anyway, if you want to be part of the show today, you got questions or comments about what we're talking about, feel free. Call us at 888-627-6008. We'll be right back after this last break.
We found the perfect house, but there's been no updating it for many years. Then we heard about the FHA 203K, where we can buy that home and get the money to fix it up, all in one low interest rate loan. What a great idea.
Hey, welcome back. call us at 888-627-6008 to be part of the show. We are back with you. We're talking now about some of the forms that the lender or loan officer is required to give the borrower in time for them to read and understand it before it closes escrow. Specifically, not to hand them at the close of escrow and say, here, read all this stuff, sign it, and we close in 5 minutes. So it's best that they get these things and make sure they get them. So as part of the Mike Young team and our consulting, since 1994, we have been providing this information to the borrowers so that we're ensuring that our lenders are covered and that they have actually provided it, and not only just hand them a paperwork, because we're going to go over that paperwork with them, like the borrower's acceptance of the following conditions. It's essential that the lender inform the borrower of the following conditions. 1. No rehab work is to begin until appraisals are complete and the loan has funded. Now, some of these loans are refinances. No rehabilitation work is to begin until the appraisals are in and the complete and the loan is funded. We had one instance where the guy is refinancing to put in a brand new driveway at his house. And so as soon as the consultant left the project, the loan was going to close in 3 or 4 more days. He took it upon himself to tell the contractor, come on out here and get started. Let's get this thing done. I want it done as soon as possible. So the contractor came out, cleared the land, staked everything out. Second day, he came out there and put his steel in. The third day, they poured. Well, the third day was when they were going to close escrow. And in case you don't know it, what happens the day they close escrow is your title company or your attorney, whatever case you're in, depending on what state you're in. But the title company sends an officer out there, and he just drives by the place to see that it doesn't look like there's any construction going on. And as he pulled up in front of this place, he saw they're just finishing off the concrete. And he called it, turned it in. The homeowner calls us and says, oh, my God, they just told me my loan isn't going to close. And I said, did you do some work where it can be seen from the street?
We're going over the borrower's acceptance of conditions. And the first one is don't start work until the loan funds. Okay, so if you started work and the title company sends somebody out to see if there's any work going on, they're not going to insure it. So you don't have title insurance. And the lender is not going to allow it to close if they don't have title insurance. Insurance that, you know, that you own that house and there's no liens of record on it. So don't start anything that can be done or have anything in the front yard. Don't start ripping out your kitchen, even though it's your house and this has all got to be done. It should not be done prior to closing that loan and having it fund. You know, if you rip it out and it sits in the kitchen, no one's going to see it. But if it's your house, if you're refinancing. But anyway, plan approval by HUD is for department use. Well, your consultant is a HUD representative. So just because he approves your plan to renovate this house doesn't mean that you can start anything. It doesn't mean that it complies with or has, that does not imply compliance with local codes. Okay, just because he's approved the plan to get started, you still need, your borrower is responsible to ensure proper permits are obtained in compliance with local codes. Plans and specifications must be approved and building permits as required issued. Okay, the fee inspector will verify this on his first draw inspection. So might as well, when you get that permit, get a scan of it into a PDF, not a JPEG, and give it to your consultant, and he can get that money working for you right away to get that money reimbursed. A final inspection by the local jurisdiction will be required prior to the release of the final draw. Okay, a lot of lenders now have imposed their own final and they're having a appraiser do a 442 inspection at the end of every 203K. Now, here's a kicker. A clear and final termite report will be required before the release of the final draw. A clear and final means a report by a licensed termite company which certified that all the work they required in the original report has been completed. Now, if the work was done by someone else, then the HUD fee inspector can inspect that work. All items of work which were not included, now this is very important, they're not included in the original scope of work, then they must be processed through a change order. And corresponding funds must be placed, deposited with the lender for those changes. I don't know anybody that does that. I don't know a lender that will accept that money. We had one the other day that, well, it's been a couple of months ago, probably last summer, where the borrower wanted to do some extra work, and they had the money, and they wanted to give a check. So who do we send this check to for the work? And they were going to give it to the lender. That way we could do draw inspections on it. So the lender wouldn't take it. They said, just write the check to the contractor. Just pay him for it and get a lien waiver. So there's a lot of shenanigans, if you would, ways of doing things that these lenders do. And the lenders are all innocent. They have what they call supplemental guidelines that they can create at any time, on demand, at will. So they can't be wrong, in other words. Contingency funds are money available only for items that affect health, safety, or are of necessity to the occupant and that are not apparent before the project is started. Change orders are not considered as contingencies, must be paid for by the borrower and put into that escrow account. Well, that's not true. The lenders won't take it. I've never seen a lender take it. I've had two tell me, no, we don't want that. Just let them pay the contractor directly. But the guideline is clear, and lenders don't have to necessarily follow it. They can call it a supplemental guideline of their own that they've decided to impose. Next thing was, the lender is going to make all checks jointly payable to the borrower and the contractor. A lien waiver must be contained on the back of the check as specified. Now, that's up to the lender. Okay, if the lender is going to put on the back of their check that this signing the back of this check and cashing it is also recognizing that you've paid all your subcontractors and employees. So anyway, that's it. And then the last acknowledgement of the borrower conditions is that the draws for the work completed will be verified by inspection. That merely means that an inspector is going to come out and inspect that work. Now, while you have a draw inspection, each draw item can be paid as a percentage of completion. When you have a change order, you don't have that ability. It must be paid once the work is 100% complete. So you cannot just create a change order to put in a patio, and when they get the ground flattened out and then they get the forms up and the steel there and they want a partial draw, you can't do a partial draw on a change order. So be aware of that. Change orders must be 100% complete before they can be issued. Anyway, I appreciate y'all being here today. I'm just thinking out loud here. We're going to have to finish this next week because we don't have enough time in today's show to complete all these contracts. But every consultant should be aware of those contracts. I like to put them as part of our consultation for the very reason that I'm sure then that the borrower has been informed properly. I'm not relying on a third person, a loan officer, that may or may not do it. I'm making sure that it's done. So anyway, thank you very much for joining us today, and we'll see you next Sunday, 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, as we broadcast from our offices here in Las Vegas, Nevada. God bless you.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you love? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.